Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two on this Sunday morning. All right, let's head down Port O'Connor way. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Lynn Smith, see how he's doing this morning. Good morning, Lynn. How's it going, buddy?
Oh, we're doing good, man. Doing real good. I'll tell you what, man, you know, fall is here. I was waiting yesterday, and about 25 or 30 teal buzzed me.
How about
I said,
that?
Oh, it's happening, buddy. It's happening. I tell you, man. Fall is here.
Yep.
I guarantee you. I haven't seen any big ducks.
No, but I like it when the big ducks start buzzing you down shorelines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the fall, you know, like in November and December, man. Pintails.
Oh,
gads,
oh yeah.
Gads,
pintails, widgeons.
Widgeons. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it gets in your blood, doesn't it? Oh, man, I'm telling you. You can look up and see those pintails and see the little white stripe up the side of their neck. You go, oh, my goodness, look here.
You hear geese honking. You know, call of the wild, baby. Bring it.
It is. It is. Bring it on. Bring it on. Boy, I was waiting a couple of days ago, and it was funny. I was waiting this flat, and there was a lot of bait working along the edge of this flat. And a darn shark came up behind me and chasing that bait. And the bait came out of the water, hit me in the back.
Had a mullet pop you.
Trying to get away from that shark. And I went, oh, my God. Oh, man, they were spooked. The shark wasn't very big, but, boy, he went by me. He was about a four-footer. You know?
Still a shark, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I know. But we got them like that, you know.
Well, they're prevalent up my way too. I mean, I saw them Tuesday. Them bulls are just, and they're up in the marsh. Guys, I know that are up there fishing and gar fishing and stuff. They're constant encounters with bull sharks stripping all their line off.
Well, I saw one yesterday, and I couldn't tell what it was. It wasn't very big, but. We got out of the boat and we didn't wade very far, and man, I heard this big explosion, and I looked over and I said, oh, it's a shark, huh? And the customer said, yeah, he said he swam right up to me, and he said then he spooked, and that shark just slowly was swimming away from him, and but you could see his dorsal fin barely sticking out of the water and just swimming away.
Swimming around on top right now. For whatever reason. You know, a lot of times during the year, you don't see them till they come up, you know, chasing your fish or whatever. But most time they stay down. Now they're swimming around on top.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, boy, I tell you what, I saw a real winner last week. Oh, man, I was in the boat, but I was fishing a deep gut that comes back in one of the lakes, one of the flats. And, I was glad I was in the boat when I saw this one, but he was 10 or 12 feet long. He came up out of the deep.
Goodness.
Oh, this looked like a submarine.
And, that's a
hair raiser. Out. It is. He came out of that deep gut, and I mean, I thought it was a porpoise first. You know, I mean, just oh man. And when he came by the boat, he made a huge wake. You know, and I thought, oh my goodness. It came by the boat, and then when he went by the boat, he came up to the shallow part of that gut, just zooming by the boat, and then I saw what it was, and I went, oh, my goodness. I mean, he was a monster, and I couldn't tell what kind he was. It was either a bull or a tiger. I couldn't
probably
tell.
Probably a tiger that big, that long.
Yeah, it probably was, but I'll tell you what, he was a hoss. I saw his dorsal, and it was a pretty good sized dorsal fin. It wasn't a hammerhead.
No, a hammerhead has that distinctive big tall spike.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I can always tell those.
Yeah,
always tell those. But it was a hoss. I'll tell you that.
Lord.
And man, oh man, makes your hair stand up. You know.
Uh huh.
Uh huh. But anyway, it was
walking in the water. Oh boy.
Oh yeah. Well, I was in a boat that day, but I've been waiting the last few days, and anyway, we caught some nice trout, and caught them on plastic and topwaters, both. Caught some
right.
nice reds on top. Caught some good redfish on top. But anyway, yesterday they had at least two tournaments down here, maybe three. I don't know. There were boats running everywhere. Going out, it looked like one of those shotgun starts, man. There were boats idling, waiting to leave. You know, I was weaving in and out of the boats, trying to get out of here. You know, I thought, oh my goodness, look at this. And kayaks everywhere, and you know, that's what scares me. I'm afraid I'm gonna run over one of these kayakers.
Yeah, you gotta really watch out these days.
Oh, you do.
Especially at first light.
Yes. At least some of these kayakers had lights on them, and that I'm glad to see them doing that.
Well, they're starting to do that a lot. They're, you know, they're wising up because they've had close calls also.
Oh, I imagine.
Big boat always wins.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They had a bunch of kayakers yesterday. They had some kind of tournament.
Yeah, probably had a kayak tournament.
I'm sure they did. I mean, sure they did. But they had airboats running everywhere and kayaks. And, of course, go-fast boats. They were running everywhere. They got rooster tails going everywhere. Whew, man. They had a redfish tournament. And, oh, man, it was a zoo. Typical Saturday, you know.
Yeah, I'm surprised you went fishing in that.
Well, I normally don't. You know, I don't like fishing Saturdays. But my customers, this was third time was the charm. You know, they had booked me two other times and we had to cancel because of weather.
Got them, yeah.
Yep. And so this was the third time was the charm. And I said, you know, I don't like fishing Saturdays, but we got to do it.
We'll do what we
and
can.
That's it. So we had to do it. And but the weather was nice. So mm-hmm. we went. And they caught some fish. We caught a lot of fish, but we didn't catch a lot of keepers, you know. But we
right.
did catch some. But the ones we caught that were keepers were nice. I mean, we had redfish. We only had one red, but he was 24. And but then we had a couple of nice trout, and we caught a lot of small trout and small reds, you know, 18-inch reds, 18, 19-inch reds.
Well, that's good to see. You're on the comeback trail anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we caught them on topwaters. But anyway, that was pretty good. We were in this one lake, and we were drifting this lake on topwaters, and catching those reds, and this guy said, well, we're going to wade this. I said, oh, no, no, you don't want to wade this. This was a bombing range during the war.
Yeah.
No, you step out of the boat, and you'll be up to your knees in mud. This is nothing but potholes in here.
Right, and then the next mud hole you slide off into may be waist-deep mud.
That's right. I guarantee you. I was in there one time drifting that lake, and there was another boat behind me about, 75 yards behind me, maybe 100. And we were catching reds, you know, almost every cast. And I heard this guy behind me, you could hear him tell his buddies, he said, let me out of the boat, let me out. I told my customers, I said, watch this, this ought to be good. And they let this guy out. And he got out of the boat, and the boat drifted on past him, and that boat drifted probably 30, 40 yards past him, and I heard him say, come get me, come get me. And he just didn't last very far. But, you know, every step was at least knee-deep mud.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, you just can't wait it. You can't do that.
I'll
no
leave
way.
That for the youngsters.
Oh, yeah, me too.
We all did it. I can't do that anymore.
No. I even tried snowshoes. You know, snowshoes worked pretty good. That did work good, but you couldn't take a step backwards. If you did, you were down.
No backing up in those.
Nope. If you did, you were down.
Got a man down over here. He can't get back up.
That's right. That's right. Now, those snowshoes work neat, though. They do work pretty good. Yeah, it was kind of fun. It was good and fun. But I even saw Gary Gray out there yesterday fishing on a Saturday. Oh, Gary. Yeah.
Probably the same deal as you. Somebody that just, they had to go because they've tried so many times, weather got them or what have you.
That's exactly right. You know, that happened a lot. That happened a lot. That's about a week or so ago.
Well, and we got, we got more eyes on the tropic for this week coming up. You know, everybody.
I was just looking at that.
Alert mode right now, watching south of us.
Golly. I think it looks like it's going east of us.
Well, I love my friends over in Louisiana, but it kind of looks like the path of the last one. You know what they're saying now? It hadn't even turned into anything yet, but they're projecting paths.
Yeah. Looks like it's going east of us, and they're projecting. I'm looking at the Weather Channel now, and it looks like it may just go all the way into Florida. So, I think it may swing all the way into Florida. So,
I knew this would probably happen. I'm prepared now. I got me a home generator. I can run everything now.
Oh, can you?
Oh, yeah. I got tired of dealing with it.
You bit the bullet, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it just, get it over with.
Well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. It, you know, here on the coast.
Me doing that will keep them away. It was a good investment. Nobody wants a hurricane.
No.
Nobody.
No. No. No, you don't. And down here on the coast, it's a happening. It's going to happen every year.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to deal with it or you don't.
Yeah, maybe I can use it this winter. Rolling blackouts from a cold winter.
I tell you what, we've been real fortunate here. We've got Victoria Electric, and we've had real good luck with them. Real good luck. I got to knock on wood, but we don't have much shortage. Very little shortage.
Right.
So we have good
That's
luck.
A good thing.
But, yeah.
Very good thing.
And, you know, every time we've had storms come in, it seems like they go straight to the coast and they get the power going down here, and then they start working inland. And goodness, every time we've had a hurricane down here, we've had power before Victoria gets it.
Right.
I mean, they get us going, then they start working inland, you know. So we've lucked out. We really have.
Well. But let me knock this break out. I'll be right back at you, buddy. Hang with me.
All right, man. You bet.
Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, and not to mention their fine processing facility. You know, bow season's right around the corner. That starts next weekend, and then we have deer season right behind that. And no better place to have your wild game processed than the Belleville Meat Market. And no better place to shop for, you know, a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue there in their meat market. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And bulk pricing, it's available on all their fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage with homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs available for all of your cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or a half calf processed, that's available for pre-order also. And their wild game processing facility, it's open year-round. And no better place to have your wild game processed. The packaging is second to none. The quality is impeccable year in and year out. The Belleville Meat Market celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 518. All right, Lynn, we're back, my friend.
Yeah, man. A couple of days ago, I just, curiosity's sakes, I ran out in the surf, looked at it. It looked good. Right. That surf looked real good. Right. And, I mean, it had a little roll to it. You know, it wasn't weightable. But, I mean, from my idea, it wasn't. I mean, you had some pretty good rollers coming in. But, I ran out through the jetties and then ran down the surf to the pass. Went on through the pass, came back in, but it was fishable, and the water was in great shape.
Right.
Yeah. So, heck, you got to be fish in it. I'm guarantee you. I mean, it looked good.
Yeah, everywhere I went this week, the water was beautiful everywhere. Good trout, green water.
Beautiful. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it looked good. Looked real good. And I talked to a couple of guys that they fished the jetties, and they said the slot reds were out there like crazy.
Yeah, everybody showing up at our jetties too. A lot of slot
yeah.
reds.
Yeah, they were hammering them at the jetties. But then they fished. I talked to one of the guys, one of the jetty guys, yesterday while I was gassing up my boat, and he said they had a slow day out there, and it was funny how they just change overnight. But they had a slow day, so they didn't catch a whole lot, and I don't know, it just kind of slowed down for everybody, but it happens. But you know, they caught one guy I talked to. He said, "Well, they caught one or two slots and a couple oversized." Speaking of that, I had this one buddy of mine with me one day this week. I didn't have a party, but I was going scouting, and so I took this buddy of mine with me, and we went out and hit a couple of spots and waited a couple of spots, and then I said, "Well, I'm gonna go out and hit some of these well heads out here, just kind of hop around a couple of these well heads and see what's around here," because I knew there had been some trout around some of these well heads. So we went out, put the trolling motor down, and kind of cruised around his well heads and cast around his well heads. Well, boy, he hooked this fish, and it took off, and it was shaking his head. And I said, "Well, I said, you got one of two things. I said, you either got a red, a big red, or you got a shark." I said, he's shaking his head like a red or a big shark. And he was fighting that fish and fighting him. Got him up. He had a big bull. And a big bull red, and right up against that little well head, and got him on board. I didn't measure him, but I put him on a scale. I said, "Well, let's just weigh him." So I weighed him. He weighed 20 pounds.
Goodness, that's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, he was a good one. Yeah. Took his picture and let him go. You know, I said, "That's a good bull." And that was on a light spinning reel he had.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, he had his hands full, I guarantee you. Guarantee you on that.
Well, there's times up my way, I mean, you don't even want to make a cast. Those bulls are just raging and so bad in the bay. And they don't leave. I mean, they stay there year-round. We catch them in the winter big time.
That's what you said. We haven't had that problem.
It just amazes me. You know,
Yeah.
I mean, I've fished that bay all my life, and we just never saw that in the past. It's just changed here in the last, 10, 15 years.
That may be happening with us. I haven't seen that yet, but now I waited one point off one of the islands one day. I'll never forget this. And I had customers, and we were waiting this point, and I was throwing a corky. I'll never forget this. And it was in the fall. And I looked up, and here came a big school of oversized reds, and they were migrating out is what they were doing.
Right.
And they came up on that point, and I threw over there, and I hooked about a 40-inch red.
Yeah.
And I thought,
corky.
I'm telling you. And I said, "All I want is my corky back, man."
Yeah, good luck.
And I wore him down. He almost spooled me twice, you know. And I finally got him up there, and of course I couldn't grab him like you normally would, from over the top, and I just had to hug him, you know, to grab him. Right. And I just hugged him and got McCarkey out and let him go. I said, "Oh, I don't want to do that again."
You're lucky that, you even got a corky back that was fishable after that.
Oh, I know. But he was that school came up on that flat. That flat just turned bronze, man. I mean, there was a bunch of them in that school. I guarantee you, they were working down that shoreline, heading toward the pass, man.
Early in the summer, I don't know, May or June, whenever it was a calm day, and Blaine got up there by the spillway. He had a live bait party, and he ran out of line on all of his tackle. I mean, it just...
Oh, man.
He if a bull red didn't eat your bait and spool you off, a bull shark would. And he said they got to rampaging so bad in there on that flat he was anchored on. You know, there's a gut feeding off of it coming out of the, you know, between that Reds Bayou and Spillway shoreline there. And he likes fishing that gut. And I like wading the sandbar next to that gut. And he said that all that came to life. It was a feeding frenzy for about 2 hours. And it was bull reds chasing mullet, jumping out of the water eating mullet, and bull sharks jumping out of the water eating bull reds.
Oh,
he said he'd never seen nothing like that in his life.
Biting them off right at the gills, probably.
Oh, just bite them off right behind the head, just smoke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let's pop a weight on that sandbar in the middle of that.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think so.
You know, because traditionally for years, you know, May and June, that's a big-time spawning flat for big trout. We used to have a lot of big trout. They spawn there because that incoming tide current would carry their eggs into the marsh up Red's Bayou. And it's just always been a popular traditional spot. But, boy, it was overwhelmed with bull reds and bull sharks this year. And stingray, for whatever reason. And millions of them little pie plates. You know, you wade around in there, you're going to get stuck, no doubt. Thousands of them.
Man, oh, man. Speaking of that, a buddy of mine talked to Jody a couple of days ago, and he said he's still having a little problem with his leg.
I bet
he still hadn't really healed.
Man.
Still having a few issues.
That was a nasty wound, man. I've seen a lot. I've never seen one that bad. Never.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. And I just saw the photos. I imagine seeing it in person, it's even more graphic and
it's
hard to believe. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's a bad wound, you know. It is a bad wound. And like I said, they want it to heal from the inside out, you know. They don't sew them up. They want it to heal from the inside out. So it's nasty, you know. But, and it's very painful, no doubt about that. I've been there and done it.
Man.
You know.
Boy, I tell you, that's...
Yeah, there's nothing good about it, guarantee
you. Can you imagine the burn and the... I mean, you just can't put the fire out, buddy.
No, you can't. You know, I've told you before on the show, but I never forget, I was down at Greens, and there was a boat came from Matagorda down to Greens, and it was an 18 shallow sport, and they dropped off, I think there were four guys, and they came from Matagorda, and they dropped guys off, you know, waiting, and they dropped the guy off right there at the point of Greens, and there used to be a green buoy that had floated up and was up in the grass right there on the point of Greens, and anyway, they dropped the guy off right there. And then took off, you know, and went down about a mile or so and dropped another guy off or whatever. Well, anyway, when they came back to pick this guy up right there at the point of Greens, they couldn't find him. And they were looking and looking for him. Well, he was up there, excuse me, he was up there in that grass. And after they had dropped him off, I mean, probably 15 minutes after they had dropped him off, he got hit by a stingray.
Oh, Lord.
And he was up in that grass, laying up in that grass. The stingray was still in him, in his leg.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he was in so much pain, he was almost just passed out, basically. But he was laying up in that grass. Well, they got him up there, got their stingray out of him, and they got him up on that shallow board, laying up on the bow. They had to literally tie him on the front of that shallow board. You know, that 18 didn't have sides on it, of course.
Right.
They literally tied him down because he was in so much pain. They were afraid on the trip back to Matagorda he'd fall out of the boat because he was thrashing around.
Oh, yeah.
And everything. They literally tied him on to the cooler and everything, and they took off back for Matagorda because he was in so much pain. I can't imagine laying up there in that grass, thrashing around, and that stingray was still in him.
Yeah,
his
leg. Barb didn't break off. The stingray was still attached to the barb, right?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Can you imagine? Oh,
sitting
my
there thrashing
goodness.
And you know it's just sawing that meat inside there.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, with those ridges down that barb. God.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no telling how many of those little teeth on that barb broke off inside there, and that's what causes all the big infection, you know?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
They had to flush that out a million times. My
gosh. You know they did. Yeah, when they x-rayed my leg, that's what they were looking for, was those
little... Looking for them little fragments? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because they said that's what gets it infected.
Crazy.
Yeah. Because when that stingray pulled out, he pulled his barb out of me.
That makes me cringe.
Nine times out of ten, they leave those little things in there. But I was lucky enough that, you know, there were none in there. But when I had on neoprene waders, and plus it went through those boots and the neoprene waders, well, it knocked all those little barbs off there. So
yeah.
So I didn't have anything in my leg, but I lucked out. But anyway.
Knock on wood, man. I've never been nailed. I know one time I should have been. I just was lucky enough. I was waiting in shorts, and I could feel that rat tail, you know, start to wrap around my leg, and I was able to, you know, jump off, jerk my foot off of it. And then another time I kicked one, and my boot went right up his tail. And in the side of it, that barb went straight into that boot in the sole right underneath the ball of my foot under my toes, and it didn't stick me. It was just stuck in the boot and broke off in there. And real fortunate.
Yeah. A friend of mine said he stepped on one, and he was in the surfing, and one of them stuck him on the bottom of his foot.
Ooh,
the barb,
I bet that
the barb
hurt.
Came up. You know it did. Came up and stuck him in the bottom of his foot.
Golly.
You know that hurt. You know that
I promise you, man. I mean, down in that foot area, that's where all your nerve endings are, you know, like in your toes and the bottom of your foot and everything. Can you imagine?
Ooh, I'm telling you, man.
That's a wake up. Boy.
You know it.
All right, let me knock out another break. I'll be right back, man. I'm going to heal up after listening to that.
I'm telling you.
All right. Yeah. Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, alligator hunts, top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters, bring your friends, family, and clients, and enjoy five-star lodging with skeet shooting, sporting clays, and a fully stocked bass pond. Rusty Hook Lodge can accommodate large groups for team building, weddings, and family reunions, so why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today. Go to RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5:37 here in the Bayou City on this Sunday morning. All right, Mr. Lynn Smith, we are back, buddy.
Yes, sir. Well, yesterday, I noticed we were getting ready to get out of the boat yesterday, and my main customer that had booked the trip, I noticed he was wearing shorts, and I thought, well, man, you should have worn long pants. We got a lot of jellyfish and everything.
Oh, we're loaded with jelly, too, the bad
guy. Yeah. And he said, well, I'm not going to wait. He said, I got Vibrio. I said, oh, no wonder, you know. And he showed me his leg. And, yeah, he'd had Vibrio before. And he was telling me he waded an area that had some shell, and he scraped his leg on some shell. Uh-oh. And got Vibrio. Yeah. And anyway, so he said, no, I'm not waiting anymore. I said, well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
That's the first thing I thought of the other day, you know, because our water temperatures are still hot. That stuff's still in the water right now.
Bacteria. Sure.
And I got popped by a gaff top trying to, you know how you'll flip it off with pliers over the side of the boat. And he popped me. And the first thing I did, I kept squeezing it, making blood come out of it. And then I, you know, put Clorox cleanup on it, burned it out with that. And, you know, I just, you know, the pain and the poison, that's just there. That's normal. That's part of the game
to
play. But you don't play with that Vibrio stuff, man.
No.
Just don't play with it.
Not at all. Well, he said when he got it, you know, he went straight to Victoria. And he's from Victoria. And so he went straight to the doctor.
He went to the right place.
He did. He did. Because we've got this one doctor there in Victoria, boy. If you get it, he's the one to go to, Dr. Burns.
He's the man.
He is the man. And, I mean, some of these doctors, like in Houston, they don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, they don't have a clue. And but this guy in Victoria, he's the one to go to.
Well, if you don't get right on it, it can kill you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I know I have a good, strong immune system, but still, you can't gamble with that stuff, man.
No, you can't.
You know, Charlie had a guy set the hook on a hard head right by the boat, and it flew into the boat and stuck Charlie in the side of the leg the other day. And,
oh, my goodness.
You know, that's scary.
It is. It is
scary. He woke up early yesterday morning at 2 in the morning. It was bleeding. It just started bleeding out of the blue. I guess it caught a little, you know, an artery or something. And, which is good for it to bleed.
But that's scary.
The poison and the bacteria. And that's why I tried to make mine bleed as much as I could. But it was kind of on that, on the palm side of your hand, under your index finger, right on that knuckle part, you know, where it hit the bone and bounced back out.
Oh, I had a guy that had brought his son, and we were fishing out of the boat with live shrimp popping cork. And so the guy was standing up on the bow, had on flip-flops, and his son caught a hardhead and swung that hardhead around, and that hardhead stuck his dad right in the side of the foot with that hardhead. And I saw it, when I saw it happening, I saw that hardhead swing around and stick his dad, and as fast as I could grab the hydrogen peroxide and everything, I ran up there, and that the blood was running off of the bow down into my boat. I mean, incredible. And I jerked that hard head out and was flushing that wound out, and there was blood running everywhere, which was good. I mean, you know, it was bleeding.
Yeah, that's good that it bleeds out. It keeps that poison from really running into your body.
And I told his dad, I said, I'll tell you what, I said, and this was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and we were going to fish half a day anyway. And I said, look, I suggest you go in and go into the hospital and get this wound flushed out and get you a tetanus shot and get this checked out. Because I said, this isn't anything to mess around with.
No,
really.
No.
And he said, no, we're going to fish. I said, no, I'm serious. I mean, this isn't a thing to mess around with.
No, you don't play with stuff like that.
And he didn't want to go in. And so we fished till about noon, and when he left, he was limping when he walked to the car.
I bet he was.
Yeah. It was swollen. His foot was already swollen. I thought, man, oh, man, you don't realize the chance you're taking. You really don't.
You got to watch out, especially for the swelling and the redness in the area. You might get a red streak. You get a red streak, you're in trouble.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it can happen so quick.
You know, and I watch people fishing with live bait do that. They'll catch a hard head on popping cork, and they'll just start slamming it on the water.
And
I just cringe because I remember when I was a kid, we were fishing on this pier, and there was a man kept doing that to hard heads. He'd just slam them and slam them on the water and stun them out where he could take them off the hook and with his hand. And he had one sling off, and it stuck in a kid's back. When that hard head came off the hook while he was in, you know, buggy whipping it, going to slap it on the water, it just flew through there and stuck in that kid's back, man.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, you know, I've told you this before. I show people the scar on my foot, on the top of my foot. But, you know, when I was a kid, my parents were building a house in Port Arthur. And so we were staying with my grandmother and grandfather, and my grandfather was babysitting me, and their house was a block from the Intercoastal. Well, he walked me down to the Intercoastal, and he was fishing, and he caught a big gaff top. Well, he caught a crab first, and he broke the claws off the crab and let me play with the crab while he's fishing.
Right.
And so we go back to the house, and I play with that crab all day, you know. And anyway, when it was time to go to bed, he said, "All right, we got to go to bed. Got to put that crab in the refrigerator." So I watched him put that big gaff top. It was a great big old gaff top, big old slimer. And so he put that big gaff top in the refrigerator along with that crab. Well, boy, next morning, first thing I thought about was that crab. I wanted to play with that crab, you know. So, boy, I ran downstairs and ran into the kitchen, and I jerked open that refrigerator, and that gaff top fell out, and that dorsal fin on that big old gaff top hit me in the top of the foot and went all the way through my foot and came out the bottom.
Oh, that's it nasty. Went
all the way through my foot. And I was screaming, and my mother was screaming, and my aunt was screaming, and my grandmother was screaming. And here I've got this gaff top stuck all the way through my foot, and I'm shaking my foot, and this, of course, this gaff top is flopping around. I'm bleeding like crazy. And so my mother couldn't pull it out. You know how they got those ridges on that pin?
Oh, yeah. Just like a stingray barb.
Exactly. And so she couldn't pull it out. Well, she called the doctor, and she said, "I can't pull it out." He said, "Yes, you can. Pull it out. And then pack his foot in ice and wrap it with a towel and everything." Well, anyway, she finally got it out. The doctor, back then the doctor did service calls. They'd come to your house, you know.
All right.
And so he said, I'll come over. So the doctor came over. They had my foot wrapped with a towel with ice, had it all packed in ice and everything. So he came over, and I'll never forget, he took a big syringe. It looked like a big horse needle, you know, and he filled it with methylate. Remember that? They called it monkey blood.
Monkey blood, that old red methylate. Yep. Good stuff.
It burned. Boy, it burned. Remember that? And but it healed everything. He filled it with methylate. And he stuck that needle in the top of my foot, and he went, squirted it, and it shot out the bottom of my foot. It went all the way through my foot. Burned, oh my goodness, I can still feel it today. But it healed it.
Yeah.
It healed it. Oh my goodness, that burned. But I still have the scar on the top of my foot where that gaff top went through.
You know something I still keep around the house, too, like the old days, is camphophonique.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That was good stuff, too.
Oh, it was. Everybody had camphophonique, yep, and methylate. Everybody had that in their bathroom.
My grandma used to keep that old sulfur cream around, you know. She'd dab that on the wound for you. And back in the day, you know, if we were down at the beach or the bay or whatever, you know, you get a cut on you or whatever, well, go sit in the surf, you know, let that salt water fill that wound up.
And
not
it would.
Anymore.
That's right, boy. That's right. Yeah, we'd be down at the beach. Boy, you get a cut. Oh, get out there in the surf. It'll let the salt water heal
right up.
Yeah, it would. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was amazing. We all did that. And it did. It healed it. Oh, my goodness.
Salt water.
Sure, we wouldn't do that today. No way.
No,
the thing is, though, you get it in fresh water. You get Vibrio in fresh water, though, too.
Well, yeah, you can. Richard Tosh got it, fish dude up there on Conroe. He lost his foot over that. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I put him down for a while, man.
Oh, I bet.
Not good.
I bet. Well, we had a guy here, old Bob Blevins, and I saw Bob at Josie's restaurant one day, he and his wife. Well, about a week or so later, he went wade fishing with some friends of his, old friends of his. Now, Bob was like 83, and he said, well, I'm going to go wading. He went wade fishing and got Vibrio. And got Vibrio, and 3 days later, he died.
My gosh.
Yeah. 3 days.
Well, 83 years old, man, you don't have a rock and roll immune system at that age, I can tell you that.
I guess so. But you never know.
He what he loved doing, I guess. That's one way to look at it, but that's still...
Yeah.
Not good. That's a tough way to go out.
I guess I'll die with a fishing rod in one hand and dragging a deer out of the brush, you know.
Well, that's not all bad. There's worse ways to go, brother.
Yes, there is.
Boy, speaking of deer, it's right around the corner. Bow season opens next weekend.
Oh, man. I'm ready for it.
Sure wish it'd cool off for the stick and string guys.
Oh, I know it. Yep, I'm ready for that first cold snap. I really am. I'm fired up.
You and millions of other Texans.
I know it. I've got to give my buddy a call out there in Freer, and I need to get out there to his place. He wants me to get out there and do some varmint hunting, and I need to do that. And I really enjoy that. I love to call the coyote.
You know, I need to get into that. I love doing stuff like that. I need to do it, you know, with a caller and all that, and calling in bobcats and coyotes.
It's fun.
A lot of ranches, that's a main practice on the ranches to keep the predators thinned down. You know,
they'll
have their fawn crops will, you know, succeed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love it. It's so much fun. And so fun. And sitting with customers, too, during the deer season.
Right.
If the hunting is slow and everything, before we get out of the stand, I go, let me turn on my varmint call, see if you might get a coyote or a bobcat or something. And I'll turn it on. And 9 times out of 10, you know, you'll get a coyote or a bobcat.
Right.
But it's so funny. I turned my varmint call on one day, and boy, here came this bobcat running. And this bobcat ran right up to the stand and stopped right under the stand. And I literally stood up and leaned out the window and looked down at him. And he was standing there looking around like, where's the rabbit? You know? And I took my phone and leaned out the window and took a picture of him down, standing right there in front of the stand. He was looking around like, where's the rabbit? You know, like Elmer Fudd. It was so funny. I just didn't have the heart to shoot him. I just said, look at this. This is so funny. But, it was a character.
I called a couple of foxes right up on my patio one afternoon, just out of the blue.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could see them. They ran across the road out front, and and then hit the woods over the next to me, and then they just came flying out straight to that call. And I'm just sitting there, I'm laughing, and they're looking around like, you know, where is that rabbit? It was that little crying cottontail or whatever.
Right. That's what I use.
That'll get them in every time, buddy.
Oh, it will. I called a badger in with that call.
Oh,
I had a badger come to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this customer I had with me, boy, this badger came sneaking in. And I said, oh, it's a badger. There's a badger. Boy, he popped this badger and he got him. And I looked at him, and the guy smiled, and he said, I've always wanted a badger. and he had him mounted.
Yep.
Yeah.
Boy, but you see them a lot down there in South Texas, man. And them badger holes.
Oh, yeah.
So don't step in one of them. Breaking out.
No, that's right. Horses are really get break a leg stepping in one of those.
Yeah,
that's, well, the rattlesnakes sure like those holes.
Well, yeah, they do. Those blue indigos do too. They'll go in there and get the rattlesnake out of there and take over the hole.
That's right. They do. They do that. I had there was an old tripod on that ranch here, George West. I said, I'm gonna get up in that tripod. Well, one morning I went over and climbed up in that tripod, and I hunted that tripod. When I crawled down out of that tripod, I stopped about halfway down the tripod, and I looked, and I went, well, I didn't notice that badger hole, and there was a badger hole right underneath that tripod. And I'm sitting there on the tripod looking at it, and I went, you know, if I was a rattlesnake, I'd be working at that badger hole.
Yeah, make a den out of it.
Exactly. And I looked around, you know, and I thought, oh, there's got to be some rattlesnakes around here somewhere. But, boy, it was a big hole, too, badger hole. And I thought, man, I know there's got to be rattlesnakes around here. I just knew it.
Look for drags.
I eased around there real careful. But, man, that was a big badger hole right underneath that stand, right underneath it. I was tiptoeing around there, boy. Man.
Yeah, you really got to watch out, man. You really do.
I bet there was a den in that hole. I guarantee you.
That's what they make rattlesnake boots for, is for people that don't watch out.
That's exactly right. I guarantee you. And like I told you, I don't go to the ranch without two pair of rattlesnake
boots. Must down there. If you're going to spend any time in the field or do any kind of work down there, you got to have my own. Got to have it.
Oh, I take two pair with me every time I go to the ranch. Two pair. Yep. And I guarantee you. I really like those Twisted X snake boots. Those are nice.
Yeah, that's what Blaine and all of them are wearing. I'm still got my Justins, but I want to get me a pair of those Twisted X. They look a lot more comfortable.
They are. And, I had those Justin boots for 15 or more years. But when I took them off, and, they were all dry rotted and everything. And when I took them off with my boot deal, you know.
Yeah, where you pull it off,
Yeah, and they pulled away from the heel. They broke away. And I took them to a shop, and I asked them if they could fix them, and they couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, well, it would cost as much to fix them as it would to buy a new pair.
Yeah, I sent them back to Justin and said, man, these only lasted me about 15 or 18 years. You think you guys can do a better job?
Yeah. And I love those Justins.
Get a laugh out of that.
Yeah, I love those Justins. I mean, you know, the more you wear them, the better they feel, you know.
Yeah, you just got to break them in. It's like any cowboy boot or anything. You got to wear
that's
them
right.
in, man. That's it. All right, brother. Well, we're out of time, Lynn. I always appreciate it. Good conversation, and I hope you have a good Sunday. If somebody wants to come down and fish, will you give them a number, brother?
Yes, sir, man. They give me 361-935-6833.
All right. Well, Lynn, have a good one, and I'll talk to you next week. Be safe, buddy. Catch you.
All right, man. Same to you. All right.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, top of the hour coming up, national anthem and all that good stuff. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.